struggled with, and I've preached from this passage many a time, but I had prepared really for a different passage. Actually, I was going to speak from Lamentations, and somehow I decided that maybe it was the Lord working on me that I should change that. And on about Thursday, usually when I preach that given week, the Lord wakes me up at about 4 o'clock or earlier in the morning, and that's when it's the quietest. And I have a little bit of attention deficit, you might say. And if it's daytime and daylight, that makes it harder to prepare, because everything distracts me then. And so in the middle of the night, which 4 o'clock to me is, that's my best time for preparing sermons. And I've been doing that for 40-some years, and it always seems to work the best. So even this morning, I was up and then went to bed, and my wife, she sleeps sound enough that she doesn't know that I'm getting up and going back to bed in the middle of the night or not. But this morning, I want to ask you a few questions, but I want to first tell you that most of my sermons are very simple, and I've been accused of being a simple preacher. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that in knowing that if I preach the simple Word of God, that if God speaks to you, that to me is all that matters. And so this morning I have a message for you, and it's entitled Striving for the Promises. But I have some questions that I want to ask you, and I know the answer for myself, but you have to answer the questions for yourself. Do you ever get hung up on something where you just can't forget about it, you just can't leave it alone, and it just festers on you? How many of you ever do that? Yeah? Okay, I do. I know my wife and I have, and when we were building houses, I remember when they weren't selling, and we knew God was in it all. I remember we would, what's going on? And we were just caught in the moment. And it just wouldn't go away until we all of a sudden realized what we were doing. We were really egging each other on in letting it fester. You know, it's not changed now that I'm back in full-time ministry. It hasn't changed any. Sometimes we deal with rogue people and rogue churches, and that's okay. That's part of the job. But if I let it fester, it just hangs on there. Maybe you get depressed sometimes. Do you ever get depressed? I do. Sometimes I'm just depressed or discouraged about things. And it seems like you just can't get out of it. And it lingers on. And it's where you live at the moment. And you catch yourself and you realize, oh, I got to change things. Well, I want to tell you that many years ago, God gave me a passage of Scripture, and it's there for you and I. It's there for the church. It's there for all of us. And I've used it in counseling. I've used it in many situations. And I have a sister that many years ago ended up in the psych ward. And she was on the strongest antidepressant that her body could handle. And she was still going south. And they ended up in those days giving her the shock treatment. And we had been fasting and praying for her. And as it turned out, that was God's answer to prayer, and she turned around. During that time, my dad became a Christian. And that's what it took for my dad to become a Christian. But one of the things that my sister was told at that time, for the rest of your life, you're going to have to take antidepressant pills. Well, it wasn't any more than 6 months or a year, and she was 100% off of those pills. And she was going forward. And she has never taken those pills again. And one of the things that God allowed her to grab onto was this passage of Scripture that I want to share with you this morning. It's Philippians chapter 3, starting with verse 20. I'm reading a little bit extra than the passage that we're really going to talk about, starting with verse 20 and down to chapter 4 and verse 9. It says, for our citizenship, and it's talking about Christians, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able to even to subdue all things to Himself. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. The reason I picked this passage is it is one of the most encouraging passages of Scripture to me, and I believe it can be to you. It's the passage that you need to grab onto for life. It comes with instruction, something for you and I, for us to do, and it comes with promise. The results if you follow the instruction. That's what it comes with. This passage is for Faith Community Church. This passage is for us as a church. It's for us as individuals. It's for you and it's for me. I absolutely know that it's for me. The Philippian church, they had some issues with people. Some of the people weren't getting along. We read about that and it indicates that they weren't getting along. And Paul says we should pray for them. But the Philippian church also had much to be thankful for. And Paul gives some instructions for them to move forward. Our main thought this morning is this: rejoice in the Lord. always. And again, I say, rejoice. And so the following are instructions to help us receive the promises that are talked about in these verses. First of all, I want you to look at verse 4, or chapter 4, verse 5. Let your moderation, and I use it in the translation we read, it says gentleness. And that's what most of the translations say. But the old King James says moderation. And I actually like that word in this case better, because it says, let your moderation be known to all men. And I think, just a personal opinion, that moderation seems to have a deeper meaning even than gentleness in the English language. And moderation in this case helps us understand. Gentleness is more singular, and moderation is, take the middle road, the middle of the road approach. No extremes. Level out, even she goes. And if we would openly always live this verse, we would show the things, that things are under control in our life. No, you can't do that phony. You can't live in moderation in a phony way. It has to come from the heart. It has to be when we're close to God. But living in moderation means I'm not going to the high extremes or the low depths of depression, but in moderation. And when I do that, I'm showing the calmness that I believe our Lord always had. Now, it's really easy to preach on this passage, but it's quite another thing to live it. But I'm suggesting to you that it can be done. Number two, so first of all, let your moderation be known to all men. Number two, be anxious for nothing. Verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. This comes with instruction, and it also comes with promise. This verse, it says, be anxious for nothing. In some translations, it says, don't worry about anything. And I don't believe for a minute that this is a verse that's telling us to be so lightheaded that we don't care about anything. But I believe that you and I as Christians have the ability to be able to not worry about anything when we lay everything at the feet of our Lord. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer. Okay, now it's given us something to do. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. See, it gives us instructions. And sometimes I believe that Murray and any one of us don't have the peace of God because we're not following the instructions. It's as simple as that. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything. Instead, take your worries to God. Turn around and say, hey, Lord, here's what's happening in my life. I need help. And in prayer and supplication, now mix it with thanksgiving, because God reminded me, I was laying in bed this week, middle of the night, and I wasn't sleeping, obviously, and God reminded me very clearly how He, through the years, has kept me out of sin. And yes, I am a sinner. And yes, I have sinned and do sin. But He reminded me how He has protected me through the years. And it was very humbling to realize, and I started to realize, thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication mixed with, and I added those words, with mixed with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And here comes the promise. The promise is this, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? But the bottom line is, we have something to do if we want that peace of God. We need to stop worrying and hand it over to God in prayer and in supplication and thanksgiving. We hand it over to Him. Here it is, Lord. And He will come in and flood you with His peace. When I have to be firm sometimes with even pastors, because I deal with pastors, that's part of my job. When I have to be firm sometimes even with church leadership, it hurts. And as much as it does hurt the individuals, we deal with it. And it's the same way with parents and children. It's the same way in the church. It goes right all the way throughout. But when we let it eat at us, even in parenting, if you let it eat at you, that this or that is happening and it's not happening the way that you want it to, it will eat at you. And you will be anxious and you will have all that anxiety. But when you hand it over to God in moderation, oh man, does it make a difference? Does it ever make a difference? Now let's move on to number 3. Dwell or meditate on these things. That's number 3. Dwell or meditate on these things. What is it? He gives us something to do again. Something to do. It's in the Scripture there for us. And we're going to go through them one by one. But it's in the Scripture there for Faith Community Church. It's there for you. It's there for this guy, me. And believe me, I have to eat these words. Because if at the end of it, I want the... I have to do what it says. I think I'm falling apart here or something. Sorry. Just try and fix this here for a minute. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble. Can you think of things in your life that are true? Absolutely, completely true things. There's some things in our lives that aren't true that happen. But God wants us to think about the things in our lives that are true. This is true. This is good. Whatever things are noble, now get the drift of where they're aiming at this. And this isn't just positive thinking. This is far beyond, and it has a promise at the end. Things that are true, things that are noble. Noble to me is up here. Think about those things that are noble. And whatever things are just. You know what just is. This is simple science, we could say. Basic, but so true, so important, and so vital to yours and my functioning as a Christian. Think about the things that are true, the things that which are noble, the things that are just, and the things that are pure. You know, in our day and age, it is so easy to think about things that aren't pure. And to get really, really, and I'm talking from a man's point of view, but I'm sure that women have the same problems. And we can think about all kinds of things in our mind. And that too is sin. But God wants us to think about the things that are true. And the things that are pure. And the things that are lovely. And He wants us to think about things that are of good report. Good report. When we are downtrodden, when we are depressed, when we are discouraged, if you start doing what this verse says, it will help to turn you around. And at the end is the most beautiful part. Think about the things that, if there's any virtue in them, anything that is praiseworthy, think about those things. Meditate on those things. And here comes the good part. The promise. The promise to you and me and to us as a church. It says, the things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, this is the Apostle Paul speaking, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. That's the promise. And the God of peace will be with you when we do those things. So there's instruction. There's something to do. It doesn't take rocket science. That's why I say this is a simple message, but it's hard to live. And the God of peace will be with you. Isn't that beautiful? If you want the promise, you have to work for it. God is so practical. So practical. Eat these verses. Eat them for breakfast, lunch, and supper. Memorize them. Go over them and realize what they mean. Live these verses. Concentrate on these verses. My sister that ended up in the psych ward many years ago, she said these were some of the best verses for her in the Bible to get out of her predicament. This is God's remedy for you and I when we're down. God's remedy for you and I when we're down. Will you believe it? I do. It's God's Word. May God bless you as you strive to live these verses.